Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, everybody, I'm back. This is not a best of show. This is not pre-recorded. This is live. I'm live. It's actually February 3rd. It's Thursday, Theology Thursday, with our friends at BJU and BJU Seminary, Bob Jones Seminary. So I'm live back in here. Thank you for your patience. Last couple days there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, they actually had a large chemical fire. And the types of chemicals that explode and destroy small towns. And so they evacuated a bunch of the area around there, which would include our friends at the Truth Radio Network, which is who syndicates the show. So for those of you that listen to me on Truth Radio Network, that all makes sense, right? But if you don't listen on Truth Radio Network, Truth Radio for me is my main radio partner, my syndication partner. So everything goes to them, and then it goes from them to all these other stations. And so when they're down, the whole thing's down. But praise the Lord, everybody's safe and everything's fine, but it's good to be back on Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary and BJU, the university itself. 1 Corinthians 9, see if this sounds familiar to you. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? The Olympics are kicking off this week, by the way. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we, an imperishable ones, we being followers of Christ, we being Christians. And so in this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 9, we're not just talking about, hey, you get a prize for competing. Like everybody gets a prize these days in school just because you participated. You get a participation prize. This isn't what Paul is talking about here. He's actually saying, no, you run to win. You run hard, you run to win for the glory of God. And that's something that in the business world, in the work world, the world of entertainment and media and the arts, wouldn't it be great if we saw Christians rising to the top of their field all over the place, not just running a race, but running to win? Well, last fall at Bob Jones University, some pretty amazing things happened. Check this out. So this was Bob Jones University teams in both men and women's cross country, men's soccer, and women's volleyball. All of them won a National Christian College Athletic Association championship. All of them. And then the women's soccer were in the tournament. Okay, so they were in the NCAA tournament. And then, get this. All right, this is going to sound like a joke. What do Elon Musk and Bob Jones University have in common? What do they have in common? $100,000. That's the answer. This is wild. The team of seven BJU students was awarded a $100,000 grant in a prestigious XPRIZE competition sponsored by Tesla CEO Elon Musk's foundation for their entry on scalable carbon extraction technology. So little old Bob Jones, that little old school, it's going to be 100 pretty soon, up there competing with Penn State and Stanford, University of Miami, and University of Wyoming. What in the world is going on at Bob Jones? And how is God moving in such a way that they're not just running these races, they're winning these prizes? Welcome back to the show, Bob Jones University President, Dr. Stephen Pettit. Steve, how are you? Great to see you.
I'm very good, Steve. Thank you so much for let me be with you today.
You're welcome. It's great to have you back on the very first guest when we started Theology Thursday, so it's wonderful to have you. By the way, it was great to actually meet you in person. We were kind of living in the digital world before. You have friends, but you've never met in person. But to be down there for the core conference, it was a blessing to be able to meet you face-to-face, and that was awesome. It was great to see several hundred pastors there. How was that for you guys? I had to leave Monday night, but I know you finished up on Tuesday.
It was a tremendous conference. We had some incredible messages. We're thankful that we can just be having a conference indoors now.
Yeah.
Even in light of everything that's still going on.
Yeah, it was really really amazing to be down there, and the staff and the students, everybody involved, and just great messages. It was one right after another. So that was a blessing. How are things going at the university? That was, of course, on the seminary side. But how are things at BJU itself?
Oh, we're doing wonderful. We're back in class. We're like all universities. You still have the COVID thing hanging over everybody's head to a degree. But for us and the way we work here, we just move on with life and moving forward in where we are. And we've been we never were not in class. except for the handful of weeks back in March of 2020.
Yeah.
We have never stopped classes in class. We never shut down a week of school.
Wow.
We haven't stopped at all, so we're thankful.
What was that like for you guys? You know, Bob Jones University is well known around the country and almost 100 years old. Did you guys get a bunch of grief for that, Steve? What was that like?
You mean during the COVID
time? Yeah, when you guys were, you know, continuing to stay open. There weren't many organizations that did that.
No, we didn't. I mean, everything closed in March, and that went through the end of graduation of 2020.
Yeah.
We actually held their graduation the following year in 2021. Mm. No, we decided to open up, and we followed health protocols like most people did.
Sure.
But we have a very unique team of professors here. We have one who's a member of the World Health Organization. We have epidemiologists, virologists, wow. And they just work together. And I tell you, it was the best common sense approach.
Yeah, there you go.
And we followed protocols, but we stopped wearing masks. We were one of the first universities in the United States to stop wearing masks.
Wow.
Back in March of 2021, a year ago. And, you know, God's protected us. And we have on campus testing.
Sure.
We have isolation dorm. We have all those kind of things. And then we just try to live with common sense.
Yeah. See, and that's the difference when you're going to follow the science versus following the political science. And that was great to see Bob Jones University take the lead on that. And other people needed encouragement. Christians needed that encouragement.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just kind of being manipulated. That's a whole other topic for perhaps another day. But really amazing to Bob Jones University. I'm kind of thinking it's like the little engine that could. So was this an abnormal thing, Steve, to see Bob Jones University competing at such a high level and not just competing, but winning? Or has this kind of become the norm there?
Well, this was a good year, I would have to say. The last time our guys won that level was in 2016. We just have a very unique volleyball coach, and we've done outstanding in our division that we're in. Same thing with cross country. So we have good student athletes. They're disciplined. They work hard. And it was just a good year.
Yeah, and so today we're going to unpack, and I'm going to share this on Facebook Live here in just a second so everybody can see it. We'll unpack, as our friends at BJU always do for us. There's always a great blog post that surrounds and kind of encompasses and dives deeper into the topic of the day. So today we're going to be talking about that running, preparing to run to receive the prize, and don't just think of yourself, for Christ himself. So what's going on? Besides just having good athletes, there's things actually going on. We got three major areas we're going to look at. This applies to students, this applies to business, this applies to sports, it applies to you, and it applies to me. How do we run the race as Christians in this world, not just to compete, but to win? We're here with Dr. Steve Pettit. This is Steve Noble on Theology Thursday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, back live here in the studio, and praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for people in Winston-Salem. This is around our friends at the Truth Radio Network, where they did have a very serious chemical fire and a lot of mandatory evacuations, pretty serious business. So they've got people back in enough that we can run the live show, so we're thankful for that. But just lift up our friends at Truth Radio and everybody there in the Winston-Salem area. Just pray for their safety and for all this to get cleared out, but we're thankful that we can be back on today. Of course, Thursday, February 3rd, which means it's Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones Seminary, as well as today Bob Jones University, with their esteemed president, Dr. Steve Pettit, talking about running to receive the prize for Christ, and not just a participation trophy, but actually to win. And we are just talking about the incredible, not only the athletic accomplishments last fall for BJU, but also the students that were awarded a $100,000 grant through an Elon Musk Foundation for some technical work and research dealing with carbon extraction technologies. And that's Christians wading into the environmental context, which we should be there. Okay, we should be there with great science and also with a mission to be a good representative for Jesus Christ. So there's a lot here for us to learn from. We're going to kind of look at three main elements, and Dr. Pettit wrote this in a blog post as well as a podcast, so I've got those links up so you can check it out for yourself. And we all need this, whether we're talking about students or athletes or moms or dads or whoever. We all need help in this. So let's work our way, Steve, and again, thank you for your time today. Let's work our way through this. And the first point that you mentioned in the blog, which is so important for all of us, is the need for what you call base training. And one of my favorite phrases, biblical worldview, which also reminds me of the incredible talent you just brought on, that he's going to be on the show soon. What's his name? The guy that you brought on to be kind of in charge of biblical worldview development there? I forgot his name.
Yeah, Renton Rathbun.
Oh, man, he was awesome. I went to his breakout session. What a blessing. So biblical worldview-based training, what do you mean by that?
Well, at Bob Jones, we have what we would call, we call it the BJU premium. So it's what can you get here that you might get one thing at another school, but you can't get all three. Hmm. And the first one is really what we just call biblical thinking. We use the term worldview. We didn't use worldview years ago. We just talked about believing the Bible, but that was back in a day when you had more of a Judeo-Christian ethic where people had an understanding, as opposed to today that you really have a very secular, materialistic worldview that people get from their youth growing up all the way to through secular universities. And so it's the way they view the world, and they don't view the world from a biblical lens. So we use the term biblical worldview. So it's a biblical thinking, and it's biblical. It's not putting a Bible verse on top of an education. It is immersing all of education through a biblical lens.
Yeah, and that's such a powerful thing. I teach six classes myself every week, high school age homeschoolers, and to have a robust biblical worldview, and then you overlay it into whatever topic we're talking about. We were talking off the air a little bit earlier about things that have gone on with COVID and the COVID response, whether we're talking about nursing, like BJU has an incredible nursing program there. Any topic you take, if you have a robust Christian worldview, it's like the clarifying lens that you can see the truth. You can see the lies and you can see the truth. How do you develop that? Because it's taken me years to develop a really robust one. It doesn't just happen.
Yeah, and I think you just said how it happens. It takes time. It's not the natural way to think. Mm-hmm. Our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. And we have to constantly reorient. We have to renew our minds to think in a right way. So let's take the matter of sports. I mean, sports is huge in the United States of America. What drives people, what motivates people. Every coach understands the necessity of discipline and character and hard work. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're actually thinking of it from a perspective of how to do this for God's glory.
Yeah.
So it's really thinking, it's really immersing my thinking in scripture, and then how does that live out? And I think what makes this so exciting to me is the Bible says the just live by faith. What drives us is our faith. Mm-hmm. It's what we believe. It's how we see things. And then that's what makes all the possibilities so exciting, because the Creator put within us the desire to create. We are all motivated by doing something that is creative, helpful service. And so that's what flows out, and it should be that way in every single major we have, or in every activity, like in the playing of sports. And how do you live that out? That's where the energy comes from.
Yeah, and I think, and you said that so well earlier, Steve, about, you know, he said, they go, okay, do we overlay these things? Do we integrate them? You integrate them. So I teach Christian ethics, and we talk through a bunch of different subjects where I think a lot of us Christians struggle. We're like, okay, here I am at church on Sunday, or I go to small group, or I go to my Sunday school class, and I come back on Wednesday night. Then there's my work life, and then there's what I do outside of church. And those are like two different arenas. They don't have the same emphasis. I don't think like a Christian on Sunday morning when I'm at work in the boardroom on Wednesday. And that's a total misunderstanding. This is a fully integrated biblical worldview, because if a biblical worldview is not going to inform every aspect of your life, Steve, what good is it? But it does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the problem of compartmentalization.
Yeah.
And it's just human nature to do that. You know, Elijah the prophet asked the children of Israel, how long halt you between two opinions? You've got God, you've got Baal. You got to decide who you're going to follow, who you're going to serve.
Yeah.
And then how do I live that out moment by moment, day by day, in every aspect of my life?
Well, you mentioned a minute ago, and we're talking about this first point today, the need for base training in a biblical worldview. If you're going to run the race to achieve the prize and the prize for Christ, okay? So you mentioned character, and that's another thing. That doesn't just happen either. You can have a really good biblical worldview and a really bad character, can't you?
Yeah, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say you can be saved in a moment, but it takes a lifetime to build character.
Wow.
And character is not how smart you are. Character is the kind of person you are, the qualities you have in your life, especially the reflection of the character qualities in Galatians, where we have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and those qualities.
Yeah.
So yeah, it comes through work, it comes through suffering, it comes through perseverance, it comes through sticking it out. You know, all of those are aspects of spiritual growth.
What about excellence? I think this is something, one of the things I cover in my Christian ethics class with high school students is we do a lesson on work and vocation. And most of them don't understand the theology of work. They just think, you know, I owe, so off to work I go. And don't really understand the need for excellence, which obviously we can cross into idolatry. We can be perfectionists and all that stuff. But shouldn't excellence be something that we strive after all the time just because we're followers of Christ and made in God's image?
Yeah, when the Bible says add to your faith in 2 Peter 1, it says seven qualities, and the first one is virtue. Mm-hmm. And virtue is moral excellence. It's both morality, but it's actually doing things for excellence, for the sake of God's glory, for excellence, because you can do shoddy work.
Yeah.
And you want to do everything you do to the utmost for the glory of God. And so, yeah, the Christian should excel excellence. They should be excelling for ultimately God's glory.
Yeah, and there's a great stewardship aspect there, because some students will say, well, what if I work really, really hard, totally dedicate myself, and I just get a bunch of B's? Well, if you're fulfilling the ability that God has given you and you're being a good steward of that and you're putting everything into it and all that you do, whether you're to drink to all of the glory of God, that doesn't mean you're going to be the valedictorian or the salutatorian. You just have to maximize the gifts that God has given you. That's excellence too, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then ultimately realizing God has a purpose, plan, and will for your life. Mm. He has something for you to accomplish that nobody else in the world can do. And God can take everything and use them. Even the B student,
yeah,
who actually developed the character,
oh, man,
to get there, that's going to make the difference in the long,
yeah,
run.
Yeah, what a great point. You're talking to Dr. Steve Pettit, the president of Bob Jones University. This is Steve Noble on Theology Thursday. Still a lot to get through. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at Bob Jones University and Bob Jones Seminary. Here's a question. Why do you send your kid off to college? I mean, why do we go to school? Don't most of us go to school in order to make a living? You got to learn some skills. The world expects you to have a college degree. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. But you go to learn how to make a living, to make yourself marketable. And if you have a good grades, you got the right major, then maybe you'll open up some more doors. So that's generally how we think. We educate ourselves in order to go be able to make a living. Now, at Bob Jones University, for years, they've been talking about, oh, yeah, we'll teach you how to make a living, but we're also going to teach you how to live. That is a very different concept than most of us think in the world when it comes to our jobs, things like that, as we talk about today on Theology Thursday, running the race. Were we trained, or did we train our kids how to go make a living or how to live a life? And what kind of life? That would be a life that's pleasing to the Lord, that makes a difference in your neighbor's lives. That's a good testimony as you're an ambassador of Christ. And that's what we're trying to understand today, because that's what's happening at BJU, not just in the world of athletics, but academics and teaching them not just skills and how to get out there and get a good job, but then how to make an impact on the world by living a good life. How to live is part of it. So we're working through these points today. Dr. Steve Pettit is with us, of course, the president of Bob Jones University. Steve, again, I know how busy you are. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today and help us understand these things.
It's my privilege. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, so we were talking about the need for base training. We're talking about biblical worldview. We're talking about commitment to excellence and character. One of the things, and I think we've had to learn this a lot in the last couple of years, is perseverance. So talk to us about just learning how to persevere, because if you're going to run an effective race, you've got to be able to do that.
Yeah, perseverance is a combination of, first of all, finishing what you start, and anybody can start. It's hard to finish. A race has a finish and it has a completion, and it's learning to stick it out. It's learning to actually endure through your own emotions to complete what you've started doing. That's the element of perseverance. And then also in our faith, we have to persevere, because we're all going to go through situations where we're going to have to trust God. We're going to be thrown in a situation, and perseverance is staying there in that faith position, not moving, but saying, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what happens. I mean, I had a conversation with my eldest daughter today. It was, in the end, it was about perseverance, and you're going to have to trust God in this situation and not try to manipulate God to figure out how to make it work, and let God do it for you. So that's the faith aspect for the believer.
Yeah, and I think that endurance is something that, you know, we live in kind of a Pop-Tart, get it when you want it world, and we don't wait much. I often crack this joke. We're talking to Dr. Steve Pettit, who's the president of Bob Jones University. I often tell people, listen, if I happen to go through a fast food line at a restaurant, and I'm in the drive-through line, and you know, Steve, every once in a while they'll say, oh, sir, can you just pull up for a couple minutes and we'll bring it out to you? I mean, we're at the point now, and I do this myself, I'm ready to grab a match and burn the place to the ground. Like, this is supposed to be fast food. You're asking me to wait another 2 minutes. We don't endure much of anything. I think we've seen that with everything we've gone through in the last 2 years with COVID. But as Christians, listen, all we have to do is look at the life of Christ and what he went through for us on the cross and endure, and what, and then all the apostles too. I just think that maybe, are we a little bit wimpy? Do we understand the kind of the biblical call to endure?
Yeah, I think we're all by nature wimpy, but I think it's just an understanding that suffering is the pathway to maturity. Oh, you know, man. If you suffer with him, you will be glorified with him. And so that suffering is denying self and moving forward in faith and trusting God. So, you know, you were mentioned earlier about college students, and you know, you think, what does an 18 to 23 year old really need?
Yeah.
I mean, at that point in their life. And I think if parents will be on, if parents are honest, they will say they are entering into adulthood and they are not ready. Mm-hmm. And college should be what I would call a finishing off, a rounding off, an element of that maturing of taking them as an 18 year old who's still pretty immature. They're not going to be a full adult at 22, although some will be.
Yeah.
But what does that do to mature them in their life and at the same time grow them in their faith and at the same time develop an ability to think critically, and to learn their skills that they need for life?
This next point, I'm really want to dig into this a little bit. The value of experiential learning and conquering challenges. We're talking about how do you run the race in order to win the prize, and of course for the glory of God. And you said this in the blog today. Championship teams often consist of a veteran athletes because experience is the best teacher, a truth that the scriptures confirm, referencing Deuteronomy 1:13, which is talking about wise men, as well as Job 12:12, which is also with the ancient is wisdom. And then the length of days is understanding. And this is interesting to look at that XPRIZE team that I mentioned earlier, the one that won that $100,000 grant through Elon Musk's organization. But talk to us about that experiential learning and gaining wisdom by actually living life.
Yeah, this was an incredible event that we had. So we have, if you know the story, Elon Musk is going to put out $100 million to try to deal with the climate change issue in the world and rebalance the Earth's carbon cycle and that kind of thing. And so the first 5 million of the 100 million was put out to a challenge to universities around the world to come up with ideas or something that they can do to make a difference. And so one of our lead professors came to our offices and said, we should do this as Christians. Mm-hmm. We should be able to give answers to Christian people, and this is God's world. So let's get involved in this.
Yeah.
So 195 universities submitted ideas. We took a team of 7 students. This is the experiential learning and life mentoring side of things, with 4 of our faculty, and we took students, 2 from the business department. We put 3 from chemistry and biology students, and then 2 from engineering. So one is working through the science, one is working through technology, and the other one is how do you market this,
right,
and how do you get a business plan and get it out? So these 7 worked together. They were not told what to do. They were just coached by our professors, and they put together a plan, and they submitted it. Out of 195 universities around the world, 23 of them received grants. 11 of them were international. So you got Oxford, University of Munich. You got 3 in China, 2 or 3 in India, 1 in New Zealand. And then there were 12 in the United States. There were 5 out of the 23 schools that got $100,000 for development of various, like a machine,
yeah,
to test things. And those schools included Stanford, Penn State, University of Wyoming, University of Miami, and little old Bob Jones University. So our seven students got a $100,000 grant. Then now they got to actually develop the unit that can be used and actually potentially could be patented and marketed.
Yeah, so there's excellence in all the things that we've already talked about, but that value of experiential learning, which brings up discipleship, because you had members of the staff, you had faculty members, professors walking alongside them.
Absolutely.
So can we take that, Steve, and say, listen, I need to be mentoring, I need to be teaching because I have more experience than my students or my kids. But does that go reverse as well? Should we be looking for somebody in our lives, even at our age, Steve, somebody that's older and wiser to us that can pour into us too?
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine who for the last 30 years has been a professional coach. He's coached 22,000 people. He he mentored me when I was in college. He's one of the finest guys in all the world. He lives up in High Point, North Carolina area. Godly fella. And I think we need to be mentored and coached. Actually, learning, we teach that learning is a lifelong experience.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you don't graduate and you stop learning.
Yeah,
you
hard
continue
to,
on.
Well, just like with your students, it's hard to win those prizes unless you've got some other more experienced people helping you, and that's why this is a big part of it. You mentioned coaching. We'll just set this up, then we'll hit the break. But life coaching, Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. I was just talking to students earlier today, especially teenage men have a hard time asking for help and admitting that we don't know everything. But let's talk about that life coaching, because you just mentioned it. Moses with Joshua, Barnabas with Paul, Paul and Timothy, Titus and others. This is all over the place. So how do we understand life coaching?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to be the example. Mm. I mean, you got to live it out. Somebody worth following. And then the second thing is, I think you have to learn what is the greatest way to teach. So I mentioned my good friend, he did a doctorate, his doctrine and his dissertation was on all the questions that Jesus asked in the New Testament.
Oh, man.
And by the way, he asked somewhere in the neighborhood of about 319 or so questions. And out of that, he developed a model of coaching. And the coaching was called the Master's Model. And what it is about the ability to ask the right kind of questions. Mm-hmm. The person that can ask good questions is the person that will be able to be a great teacher. That was the process of Jesus. That's what Aristotle did. And so a good coach is a fellow who can, or somebody that can ask good questions.
It's Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University and as well as Bob Jones Seminary. We're talking through this blog post today. I'm putting it up on the Facebook live feed so you can read it for yourself. Preparing to run to receive the prize for Christ. How are we running? Are we running to win? And what's all involved in that? We're talking to Dr. Steve Pettit, the president of the university. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
We'll see you on Sunday.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold it.
Okay.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends at Bob Jones University. This is, speaking of life coaching and lessons and trying to learn and get better in order to achieve the prize, here's what you don't do. You're having a conversation with a new friend during the commercial break. You ask him a really loaded question with about 2.5 seconds before the show starts again, which is exactly what I just asked Dr. Steve Pettit, who's the president of Bob Jones University. Sorry about that. We'll tee that up on the other side of the break. But I certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for being here today, Steve. It's great to have you on.
My privilege.
So we're talking through this, preparing to run to receive the prize for Christ. And because we're kind of talking about it in a university context, this isn't just as we're talking about our young children. Okay, we're talking about kids. We're talking about high school students. In this case, we're talking about university students at the level like at Bob Jones University. And all these things apply there, but they also apply to us. And you mentioned this earlier, Steve, this kind of lifelong learning that life is a journey. I was mentioning this off the air that if anybody could have gotten the job done in terms of discipling a number of guys in a couple of days or a short and condensed J term. I remember I took a couple of J term classes when I was working on my master's degree where they try to literally cram one semester into a one full time week. So you're going to class from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and you're supposed to cover the same information you get in a semester. But that never works. You can't just pour all that information in. You got to have experience, and then you got to have coaching in there. And I think about, this is what made me think of Jesus, is that he could have done it in a year maybe he couldn't, because it took time to get these guys experientially and then to coach them along the way. So as we look at these things and how to run the race, shouldn't we just look at Jesus and his disciples as like the ultimate example of this?
Absolutely. He essentially had 12 disciples and one didn't do very well. We've always called it life on life, life touching life, discipleship. And it's the engagement of your life into the life of others. And you can only give to others what you have. Mm. You can't give to others what you don't have. And so we've always emphasized God works in you in order to work through you. And whatever God does through you, he did it inside of you. And so this is a process of time. When you think of what you were talking about going to class, you have knowledge, but then you have understanding. Yeah. And then understanding has to lead into experience and wisdom and choices. And so that knowledge to understanding takes time. And as you understand, learning always has multiple aha moments. Yeah. Oh, I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's learning.
Yeah, and we should always be on that quest. That should never stop. We should all be lifelong learners. You mentioned that in terms of discipling people and bringing them up to that level. And Alan did this, Alan Benson, on Monday at the CORE conference down at South Carolina at BJU Seminary. Was talking. This was so convicting. I bugged him afterwards. I said, every time I'm around you, Alan, you say something that makes me really uncomfortable. And in this case, remember he said this, that you can only disciple other people up to your own level.
Right.
And that was so convicting to me, going, okay, I expect this, I expect that. If I'm talking about my own sons or people in class, if all I could do is bring people up to my level, is that going to be excellent? Is that going to be something that's going to allow us to win the prize? That was a really convicting thought to me.
Well, I guess it depends on what level you're at.
Exactly.
That's what it's going to come down to. No, I think, and I mentioned earlier, the three big things that we emphasize in our premium, number one is biblical thinking. Number two is engaged learning. I just say this, if you want to go to college to get knowledge, or if you want to go to college to get information, you don't need to go to college. You just need to go to Google and YouTube. You go to college to change, to learn, to experience. So we want our students to have numbers of experiential learning so that they actually have that's what they want to experience. The third thing is life coaching, and that is that, as was mentioned, he that walketh with wise men will be wise. Mm-hmm. We need to see living examples of what we should become. That's what Paul said, follow me. I'm an imitator of Christ. You imitate me. So really, a teacher has to be, a true teacher is one that you can imitate.
Mm. Yeah, such a powerful thought. So let's all look in the mirror, not like the guy in James that forgets what he looks like, but let's look in the mirror and take stock and take note. If all my kids or all my students, everybody that I disciple or I lead in one way or another, if they all ended up exactly like me, would I be happy with that? Or would I be, I don't want them to end up exactly like me. And then whatever those things are that make you uncomfortable in terms of imitating you, those are areas that we all need to work on with the Lord and with the power of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to ask Steve about motivation. So we want to work with excellence, all these great tools and the way the scriptures point us in that direction. But I want to work with excellence in my career. The scriptures tell us if you work that way, you're going to appear before kings. God will use you. But what about our motivation? Is that a dangerous area? Because I think I can get pretty wrapped up in success, and I'm not doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it for Steve Noble.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and on the one hand, there is no one who has perfect motives. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so the presence of sin in the life of the believer is never eradicated.
Yeah.
So you're always going to have bad motives in one side of you. The other side is that the right kind of motive is first and foremost choosing to be obedient. I'm going to obey God. If I'm trying to short circuit what God wants me to do, that's a bad motive. So I really need to be obedient. Number two, I really need to do it in the service of others. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself. Mm. And so when Paul said in Philippians, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, that's the proper motivation. And then we mentioned it earlier, if you want to check your motives out, just start 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. And Paul has a list of about 14 things that reflect love. And if you can get through the whole thing unscathed, you're doing pretty good. And nobody can.
That's right.
You know, if you can get past patience and kind, then keep on going. And you're not, you know. So I think absolutely, I think that we should be careful to judge our motives. We should not be hyper introspective, because that could even be the wrong thing as well. And ultimately, we are what we are because of Christ. He is our interceder. We stand before God in Christ. And so Christ has to be the ultimate focal point in my life.
Yeah, there's this interesting Christian tension that's so beautifully said, Steve. There's this interesting Christian tension I know who I am in Christ. I understand how God sees me and the power of Jesus' blood and that righteousness that's been imparted to my account. But like Paul, you mentioned it, the chief of all sinners, I don't do what I should do, and I do what I shouldn't do. And then he's lamenting, who's going to save me from this wretched body of death? Then he goes in this exaltation and points everybody to Christ. So there's this, okay, I've got a long way to go, but I also can rest in the fact that Jesus' yoke is easy and light. And there's this strange tension. That's why I think it's so important that we talk about these things and check your motivation. I mean, I'm a fairly good communicator, but I know if I can speak with the tongues of angels, I can move a room, I can do all that kind of stuff. But if I don't have love, I'm just making noise. So I think we always have to, somebody said this to me years ago when they saw me, my head getting a little too big for my body. They said, you know what, Steve, we should always be suspicious of ourselves. And that's not Martin Luther laying in front of a pulpit beating himself to death. But I think we need to be really sober minded, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, if you have within you a sin nature, so Paul said, that which I do in me is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I have an indwelling enemy that really is against God, but I have a higher power, and that's the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I need to be daily living in dependence and reliance, moment by moment, in trusting the Spirit of God to enable me to overcome what I am by nature, which he will, because that power is a greater power.
Yeah, and that progressive sanctification. And that's that journey, so you never should stop learning. So many great points. Let me turn the corner and kind of shut down that part, Steve. I just wanted to ask you, number one, what's your favorite thing about being the president of Bob Jones University? And number two, why should parents and their students check out BJU?
My favorite part is people. It's students. I love students. That's why I'm here. And whatever you have to endure to be the president, it's worth every bit. I think with the parents, I just have to ask every parent, what do you want for your child in their life? If you are a Christian parent, you want your children to love God, serve God, be useful for God, get the best education that they can, and go out and live their life to the glory of God. And I'll tell you, the insidious nature of secular education today is far more powerful than the average parent would think. When Bob Jones University was started in 1927, the founder was concerned about the negative influence of secular liberal education in the United States in the 1920s. Fast forward 95 years later, 2022, and I'll tell you this. I have a good friend of mine. He's a pastor of a church. He lives in Georgia. He can get a degree for free. He's going to a college down in Savannah, Georgia, and he's doing it just so that he can understand what's going on.
Yep. Yeah, that reminds me of a non-Christian thinker, Sun Tzu. It's like, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. You have to understand what's going on out there. Such a great clarion call for all of us today, Steve. And such a thank you for sharing about BJU. It's really amazing what God is doing there. I'm going to keep you on hold for just a second so we can pray with you after the show. But thanks again for your time. It's been awesome having you on. I look forward to having you again.
Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you guys real soon. And like my dad always used to say, believe me, beat it into my head. Ever forward.